10. Oh my gosh, week 10. Can you grab your manuals and go ahead and flip to week 10? I'm so excited tonight. For one reason, because of the teaching, week 10 is all about the gifts of the Spirit and discovering what your gifts may be and the purpose that God wants to use in that. But also, I'm so excited for the speaker that we have tonight. We actually have Pastor Cody here with us tonight. I know. We get to see him. I know. We get to see and listen to his gifts on Sunday mornings as he sings and leads our worship team and does such a phenomenal job. He is an anointed man of God, and I have just loved getting to know him better and getting to know his wife and his family better. And I'm so excited that you guys get to hear from him tonight. Let's give him a hand as he comes up here.
Thanks, everybody. How are you guys tonight? Doing good? Man, that weather outside, right? It just kind of changed quick today. It got cold. I'm enjoying it, though. Somebody said the other day, or I saw a post on, I think it was Instagram, it said, hey, guess what? It's fall in Texas, and you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Hey, guys, so excited to be here with you tonight. For those of you that don't know me, because I see a lot of new familiar faces, or a lot of new unfamiliar faces here tonight. My name's Cody. I'm the worship pastor here at Timber Creek. My wife, Michaela, and I, and our two kiddos, Carmen and Grayson, we've been at Timber Creek. This month marks a year. It's crazy how fast time flies. And I tell you what, we're just so thankful to be here in East Texas and what God's doing here at Timber Creek Church. We truly believe that the best is yet to come. And I know that's a phrase that a lot of people use. It's cliche, but I really mean that. I think that our church, I don't think I know. I want you to know tonight, too, just remind you how blessed we are to be a part of this church, to be a part of the leadership that's at this church, to hear the teachings that we hear week in and week out. Even the leaders here in Grow Track and Encounter and Starting Point, I mean, man, we are very fortunate to be a part of what God's doing here. So super excited, again, just to be here with you. We're going to go ahead and jump in tonight. As Taylor said, I know that the the World Series is happening tonight. And I promise you, I will fast track it as much as I possibly can for you all, because I know you're probably like, all right, let's get this thing rolling so we can go and watch our game. So if you guys will, I know you got papers on your table. Grab your pens. We're going to go ahead and get ready. You got some fill in the blanks. Week 10, going to be talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they operate in and through our lives. Everybody say gifts. How many of you like gifts? Just raise your hand. You like gifts. Anybody that doesn't raise your hand, I don't believe you. I love gifts. I love all kinds of gifts. I love small gifts. I like big gifts. I like gifts when it's not Christmas. Like, anytime you want to give me a gift. My love language is Starbucks. Anybody else like Starbucks in here? Just coffee in general, yeah. Anybody want to give me a gift of a gift card later one day? You just feel led to do that? I receive that in Jesus' name. So tonight, guys, we're going to be diving into the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 and 14. Just going to be jumping back and forth. In the book of Corinthians, Paul is talking to us in this book, and this is the first book that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And if you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, if you break it, you can kind of break it up into different chapters. You can clump them together, and they're almost like mini essays, okay? And Paul is writing in Corinthians, and he's all of these different little mini essays within these chapters clumped together are issues that he's addressing with the church of Corinth, okay? And tonight we're going to talk about one of those issues in chapters 12 and 14 of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the church of Corinth at that time, Paul was made aware that there was just some funky stuff going on. Paul is going and he's going to build more churches, and Paul gets made aware that when it comes to their gatherings or their church services, that there's just some funky stuff going on. There's people standing up and speaking when they want to, and message and tongues are being given, but there's no interpretation. There's just crazy chaotic stuff happening. And he's like, okay, well, I got to go address this. So number one, Paul sees a problem. He then goes and addresses it biblically, and he's trying to help the church of Corinth be able to see through a lens, a biblical lens, and say, are we really living out what we truly believe? So I'm going to take you guys through these, what we call fast facts on the gifts of the Spirit. You'll see here there's eight of these, and we're going to walk through those. Some of these we're going to hit for time's sake. We're going to hit it. We're going to keep going. There's some of these we'll park on for a minute and talk, so just bear with me there. Number one, every Christian has at least one gift. And these references are out to the end of each of these numbers, so you can go back in your personal time and just kind of digest it a little bit more. Every Christian has at least one gift. Everybody say one. Okay, so I've grown up in church all of my life. Thankful for it. I was raised in a godly home. My parents, they love Jesus. They've taught me the right way. And growing up in church and being around church people, I can remember times in my life of this discussion of gifts, people having different gifts, different abilities God's blessed them with, okay? And when it comes to gifts, just as the scripture said, we all at least have one gift. Now, I've heard people in my life say, I'm going to be honest with you, Cody. I have pondered, I've thought about it, and I just cannot, for the life of me, come up with what my gift would be. I can't play an instrument. I'm not a friendly person. Maybe I'm an introvert or I can't cut grass because I get allergies. I can't do lawn work. Some people want to do that for the church, and that's awesome. But there's just all these different excuses that I hear of why I don't have a gift. And I just want you to know, I love the roundtable experience. And I know we have a roundtable experience in a couple different classes here at Timber Creek, but I think the beauty of this, guys, is in these roundtable experiences, you're all sitting with people who have the same goal, right? You're wanting to deepen your relationship in the Lord. You're wanting to grow in your knowledge of Christ, right? You're wanting to get better, and you're wanting to practice those gifts. And really, if there be anybody in here tonight that would say, you know what, Cody, that kind of resonates with me, and I feel like that person. I struggle with coming up with, what is my purpose? What is my gift? And I want to say to you tonight, this is the beauty of the roundtable. When you have these moments when you can talk with each person at your table and just say, you know what? Man, I'm just struggling finding what that gift is for me. You would be shocked at almost every time. I've heard it over and over. People from the table will speak up and say, well, I just want to let you know that, man, every time I'm around you, you just uplift me. I love your personality. You make me laugh. And to them, sometimes we can't see our gift. Sometimes we're blind to it, or it's just a little blurry and we don't see that. But somebody at your table could say, you know, man, Dan, I'm telling you, when I'm around Dan just uplifts me, man. He just puts a smile on my face. It doesn't matter what kind of day I've had. Dan just, there he is right there smiling. See, that's Dan. Dan comes up and smiles, and he just uplifts you. And maybe Dan never knew that. And somebody right there, Joe looks at Dan and says, Dan, I just want you to know, man, when I'm around you, I just feel encouraged. And all of a sudden now, Dan goes, man, well, maybe that is truly a gift that I have. Or think of it this way. Maybe let's say you say, man, I really want to be a greeter. I do. I want to be at the front door. I want to be right there at that first experience when people walk up. I just want to be there to encourage people, say, good morning. So glad to have you here at Timber Creek Church. But I'm just not quite ready to be put at the post yet. Then what you do is you go find somebody who's a phenomenal greeter. We got some phenomenal greeters in our church. We got some people that just ooze joy. And you go find that person. You say, hey, can I just shadow you? I really want to get into greeting. Can I do that? And you go shadow that person. You spend time with them. You learn from them. And you're just developing your gift. So just be encouraged tonight that every Christian has at least one gift. Number two, not everyone has the same gift or set of gifts. Not everyone has the same gift or set of gifts. Now, as we mentioned earlier, it is the World Series tonight, and I heard on the radio earlier, they said, guys, this is game 7 of the World Series. They're like, for those of you that are listening right now, you need to understand this is a big deal, okay? It's 3-3, it's tied. It's game 7, this is a big deal. They're pulling out all the stops tonight. Their bullpens are going to be going constantly. They're going to have everybody warming up, ready to go. They're going to exhaust all of their resources because they want to win this sucker, okay? And when I read number 2 and I say not everyone has the same gift or set of gifts, but we're all in this for the same purpose. The same way for the Astros and the Nationals, I promise you, their goal tonight, that team has one purpose. It's not for the shortstop to show off and be the highlighted person of the night to get on ESPN for some fancy play that he does. They want to win a stinking national championship. Or the World Series. Sorry, national championship. I'm thinking football. They want to win the World Series. That's their goal. But not everybody on that team has the same set of skills. Everybody's different. You got a left fielder that may be my height, my size. You may have a pitcher that's 6'2", that's a left-handed pitcher. I grew up playing baseball, so for me, left-handed pitchers freak me out. Because when you're a right-handed batter and you're standing there and they throw that ball, especially if they have a sidearm to it, it looks like it's coming right at you, even if it's not, you know, and it can be freaky. But that, to me, that was just a great picture of same goal, different people, different giftings, but it's all for the same purpose. So not everyone has the same gift or set of gifts. Number three, the Holy Spirit decides what gifts I get. The Holy Spirit decides what gifts I get. You know, for this, I thought about just my kiddos. You know, when they were born, they didn't have the option to say, hey, Dad, can we have blue eyes or green eyes or can I have blonde hair? Like, they didn't get that choice. And in the same way for us, like for me, I didn't get that same choice either. And just as number three says, the Holy Spirit, he gets to decide what gifts that we get. Number four, the gifts I'm given are permanent. Everybody say permanent. Romans 11:29 there, you can read that in your own time. The gifts that I'm given, they are permanent. And I begin to think, you know, the gifts that God's given us, the goal is to use them for his glory and that he would receive the glory and honor from it. And I know people in my life, and I'm sure that you could say the same, that you know that they have giftings and abilities, and it's just, it's almost like, you may have heard this phrase, it just makes me sick how talented somebody is or, you know, how gifted they are. You laugh because you know it's true. And I've seen people in my life who are so gifted and have so much stinking potential, and they never get to experience the fullness of that, maybe because they just kind of fell to the wayside a little bit. Maybe at one time they were following the Lord, but they just kind of got off track a little bit. And even in those moments, even when they fall away from God, those gifts are still permanent. Number five says, I am responsible to develop the gifts God gives me. Everybody say, I am. I am responsible to develop the gifts that God gives me. Not Pastor Jeremy, not Pastor Talia, not your spouse. It's nobody else's responsibility to develop the gifts that God gives you, but you. And when it comes to developing, I use music as an example because that's what I do for a living. I get to lead worship and train up teams, and I love everything. I love it, what I do, with a passion. And when it comes to development, there has to be practice involved. Just as I mentioned earlier, whether you're a greeter, whether you work at Cafe Aroma, whether you work in KidWorks, there has to be a development process, right? It's crazy for me. Like right now, I play piano on Sundays. That's my primary instrument. But I turned 29 next month, and I've been playing piano since I was 14. So I've got some years of experience and practice that's went into that. I didn't just wake up one morning and know how to play piano. Like it would be crazy of me to never have touched a piano in my life, go to sleep tonight, and just say, in Jesus' name, I declare that tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm going to play piano as if I've been playing for 15 years. I speak it by faith. It doesn't matter how loud I speak it or how much I say it. That's crazy, right, for me to think that. And so it has to be, we have to practice our gift. So I just encourage you tonight, whatever your gifting is, don't ever stop practicing it. Don't ever stop wanting to get better at your gift, regardless if it's, whether you're a greeter, whether you're a parking lot. Like, always be examining, how can I continue to develop my gift? How can I be better? Ask other people. Ask other people that you trust, that you minister alongside with. Just say, hey, talk to me for a second. How am I doing as a greeter? Is there anything that I can prove that I can improve on? And just constantly keep developing that gift that God has given you. Number six, it's a sin to waste the gifts God has given me. It's a sin to waste the gifts that God has given me. And you'll see in parenthesis there the parable of the talents. And this comes from Matthew chapter 25, 14 through 30. And I'll just give you just a quick synopsis of this story. The master goes off on a trip and he leaves three bags of money to three servants. Two of the servants, they invest the money. One of them doubles. The third one, however, takes the money out of fear and he just simply buries the money. The master comes back from his trip and says, what did you do with the money that I give you? And the first two come back up to him and they say, well, we doubled it. We took it and we invested it. We got more money back. This is great. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. But the third person, when he says, what did you do with the money that I give you? And he says, well, I buried it. I was afraid I buried it. And he says, you wicked. And I forgot the other word that he used. Wicked and unfaithful, that's it. You wicked and unfaithful servant. Because you weren't faithful with the little that I give you, I'm not going to give you anything else. And these other two guys, they took it, they invested it, they took the little that they had, and they did something with it. And in the same way, We want to do that. We don't ever want to waste the gifts that God has given us. We don't want to just sit on the sideline when we've been blessed, as we said, number one, with at least one gift. There's something on the inside of you that you can use for God's glory. And we want to make sure that we're being good stewards of what he's blessed us with. Amen. Number seven, using my gifts glorifies God, helps others, and causes me to grow. Using my gift glorifies God, helps others, and it causes me to grow. Number eight, God gives us specific guidelines that must be followed when using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God gives us specific guidelines that must be followed when using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll turn to your next page with me, we're going to talk about ministry gifts to the church. If you've got your Bible or your Bible app on your phone, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians 4, chapter 4, 11 and 12. I'm going to read this passage and then we'll get going. If you're there, say, I got it. I'll wait on you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says this. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church and the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 list the five ministry offices Christ has given the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, what's the responsibility of all of these different offices again? Talk back to me. What's their responsibility? To equip, right? The responsibility is to equip God's people to do what? It's their responsibility to equip God to do his work and to build up the church and the body of Christ. So I want to start tonight with apostle. An apostle is someone who is sent to begin new churches or ministries. Some of you may have heard the term before, an apostolic anointing. That's somebody that has an anointing on their life to want to, they want to start something new, whether it's a church, whether it's a ministry inside of the church, like their heart is just driven towards that type of thing. Anybody in here, would you say that maybe you feel, maybe not in this season of your life, but maybe you feel like that might be something in the future that I would want to do just by a raise of hand? Maybe you feel like I just may have an apostolic anointing on my life. Like I feel like I would want to help do that. That's okay. That's okay. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Number two, there's a prophet. And a prophet brings a specific word or message to someone and or church concerning coming events. A prophet brings a specific word or message to someone and or church concerning coming events. Now, this word prophet for me really stands out because I remember when I was 14 years old, I'll never forget, I was in my youth group. We had this youth service. It was called Week of Commitment, and we all came up to the church, and we put our phones away, and we stayed at host homes, and the whole week was dedicated to committing to the Lord and really just getting rid of junk in our life and just and drawing closer to the Lord, honestly. It was almost like an encounter experience like we have here at Timber Creek. And I'll never forget, it was the day before everything ended. We were in a worship service, and I just felt the Lord. I felt in that moment that I was called into worship ministry. Like, that was my moment. That was when I knew, like, it was confirmed for me. I had felt that, man, this is something I feel that God's calling me to, but I wasn't, like, 100% sure or confirmed on that. But in that moment, I'll never forget, I felt it, just this tugging of, like, the Holy Spirit in my life just saying, this is what I'm calling you to. This is what I'm going to equip you to do. And fast forward, I want to say it was like 6 months later, we had a special guest come to our church. He was a music guest, and he came and sang. And at that time, the first instrument that I ever played was drums. And so when I was 14, I was known as the drummer. Like, that was my title. That's what I grew up doing, and everybody knew me as the drummer boy. Like, that was my nickname. I always played the drums, and that just kind of became my title. And I remember getting to a place in my life after feeling the Lord was calling me to that. And I was just kind of like, okay, I feel like I'm done with this season of just playing drums. And I'm ready to shift into what I feel God's calling me to do. And this person came to our church and he began to speak that night. And it was an altar call moment. And I went and hopped in the drum cage to play. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I still have the recording. It was on a CD, and I put it on my iPod. I still got one of those solid-state iPods. Anybody, you remember those iPods, the ones before the touchscreen had a little wheel? I still have that one. And I it's still on there, and I've listened to it before ever so often. It just reminds me. I'll never forget it. He said, "Hey, is that drummer in that cage over there? Tell him to come out of here." And I remember walking up to the front. We had a pulpit, a big old pulpit, wooden pulpit, and there were stairs right there. And I remember standing right in front of that pulpit, and I remember him looking at me and pointing his finger at me. And he began to just speak over my life prophetically. And even talking about it now gives me chills because I remember that moment. And I remember feeling the presence of the Lord so strong and just knowing, like, this is a God moment. This is a moment. And he began to speak over my life and declare things that, and when I say prophetically, he was speaking things that were going to happen in my future. Things, he doesn't even know me. And he begins to say all these things. The Lord says that you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And can I tell you, every single thing that he said to me has taken place. And that right there, that's an example of what a prophet is. They come, they speak into your life, and they don't even know you. Like, we want to talk about somebody getting your attention when they walk up to you and they say, they start talking to you about whatever, maybe you're going through something, or maybe you're having issues with your marriage or finances, and man, they just start talking to you, and it's dead on. Have you ever heard the phrase, "You read my mail"? Anybody ever heard that before? Man, that person read my mail. You want to talk about a quick way to get your attention when somebody comes up to you and they're used by the Lord. Not somebody that's manipulative, but somebody that comes up that's being used by the Lord as a prophet. They speak into your life, and it'll confirm things. I know for me, it was a confirming moment for me. And so that's an example of what a prophet is. And then we have evangelist. Now, when you guys hear the word evangelist, are there any names of evangelists that just pop in your mind? Anybody, just say one. Billy Graham, that's exactly what I wrote down. Anybody else? Steve Hill, Brownsville Revival. I remember Steve Hill, man. He was fire brimstone, man. He was, hurry, hurry, hurry. If you guys remember the Brownsville Revival. But yeah, I began to think of Billy Graham or Steve Hill, man, the thousands upon thousands of people that would come to crusades or services as they preached. Just the heart of an evangelist has a strong emphasis on bringing the gospel to the unsaved. And then we have a pastor sent to shepherd and care for a flock. Who's the flock? We are. We're the flock. And it's led by a body of local believers. Lead a body of local believers. I think of our pastor, Pastor Jeremy, and the heart that he has for people. I also think of Pastor Stephen. You guys know Pastor Stephen? Stephen Courtney? Man, you want to talk about just a pastor's heart. That guy, man, I get the opportunity to work with him every week, and I'm telling you, he's the real deal. I just love Pastor Stephen. I love his heart. Anytime we talk about Pastor Stephen, it's always, man, Pastor Stephen, he's just a shepherd. He's just got a shepherd's heart. He cares for people. He's always trying to help people with whether they're struggling or whether they're celebrating something. Man, he's right there with them, and that's an example there of a pastor. And then we have a teacher. A teacher is someone who's gifted to teach and explain and expound on God's word. Any teachers in the room? Anybody a teacher? Yeah? Thankful for you guys. A teacher is gifted to teach and explain and expound on God's word. And anybody know what the word ministry means? Come on, say it out loud. Somebody said it. You guys can talk to me. It's okay. Anybody know what the word ministry means? Somebody said it. It means to serve, right? And I've heard people before say, well, you know, I work my 9-to-5 job and I'm just not really called to the ministry. You know, when they say that, man, you're really saying technically, I'm not called to serve. And so just being able to encourage everybody, hey, when you say I'm in ministry or I'm ministering, we're just simply serving. That's what we're doing every single week, guys. When we come every single Sunday morning, when you get here early, it's all just from a heart of serving the body of Christ. We go to this next section here, guys. It says how to use and how not to use spiritual gifts. And this different section right here is going to be broken up into utterance gifts and then revelation gifts. So we'll start here with utterance gifts. Everybody doing okay tonight? You with me still? I know this is a little bit heavier of a topic, and I know that when people talk about the Holy Spirit, sometimes it can be like, ooh, you know, and Halloween's tomorrow night. But let me tell you something. In all seriousness, the Holy Spirit is not scary. He's not scary. It's not meant to be weird. And I just want to say to you tonight, if you're somebody sitting here that maybe has had just a bad experience in church or with someone in regards to the Holy Spirit, or maybe you've just experienced some of that weird stuff we're talking about, I just want to say I'm sorry. And I just want to say to you that the Holy Spirit, He's here to help us. He's our comforter. He's a comforter. He's here to help us. And so let's keep going tonight. So here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 11, and then chapter 12 and 14. This is where all this is coming from. So again, tonight, just as you're filling in the blanks, please feel free to make notes, jot to the side if you feel the Lord's leading you to write up something else down. Just make these notes so that way whenever you go home tomorrow or through the week, you can go back and glance at these and really just kind of digest this, because this is a lot of information to take in. So we talk about utterance gifts. What do you guys think of when you hear utterance gifts? Speaking? Speaking gifts, that's right. So we talk about tongues, and tongues is a public tongue to be interpreted, 1 Corinthians 14:27. We're going to talk about how it's supposed to be used and how it's not supposed to be used. So when it comes to tongues, it's supposed to be used in a group or congregation setting, always with an interpretation. That last part there is very important, always with an interpretation. So when you're in a church service, some of you may have never experienced this before. When you're in a church service and the Holy Spirit's moving, there are times when someone will speak in tongues. You may have heard that phrase, speaking in tongues, in a heavenly language. They begin to speak in tongues, and the way that biblically it's supposed to be done is when that message is finished giving, somebody is supposed to then interpret that message. Because you have to think of it this way, if somebody speaks in tongues in a room full of people, but there's no message given or there's no interpretation given, then that can easily create chaos. It can create confusion. People start going, what in the world is happening right now? But I want to tell you, when a message in tongues or when somebody speaks in tongues and there's an interpretation that is given, you want to talk about a powerful moment. I can remember times growing up in church where somebody had spoken tongues. Somebody gives an interpretation, and I'm telling you, it was so on that, like the timing of it was just perfect for our church. I remember times that it would just speak to my life. Like, there's something about just when that message is given and then the interpretation comes with it and it's just right on. It's a powerful thing. Now, how it's not supposed to be used in a group or congregation without an interpretation, we talked about that because it causes confusion. Now, I want to just clarify this to you, too. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. All right, everybody? I know sometimes that's a question people ask, you know, do I have to speak in tongues? No, you don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. It's just simply, as we said from the beginning, it's just a free gift that God's given us. Next one here is the interpretation of tongues. Now, the interpretation of a public tongue, how it's supposed to be used is after a public tongue is given, as I said, it needs to be audible to the audience. It is a witness to the unbeliever, but only when interpreted. So again, when it's not interpreted, there can be confusion. And so the interpretation there is a witness to the unbeliever. How it's not supposed to be used. Now, it's not a soapbox. It's not an opportunity for somebody to say, thus saith the Lord. Because I'm just going to tell you, when you start getting into that kind of stuff, you're dealing with dangerous territory. When you start saying, thus saith the Lord, and you're saying that God told you to say something. So just want to encourage you when those moments come. Now, here's the thing too, guys. Everybody in here, we're human. Okay, there's sometimes where we may miss the mark. There may be a time where, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, about words of wisdom when you go and you talk to somebody and you feel you're sharing something the Lord's given you. But just make sure when you're speaking in front of a congregation of people that if you're going to step out and say, thus saith the Lord, and you start to share, just know that you know that it's from the Lord and it's not from you. When it's done right, there's a powerful result that we don't want to miss out on. And then we have prophecy. A word from God for edification, exhortation, correction, and comfort. The way that it's meant to be used, it's meant to be used to strengthen, to encourage, to comfort, and to edify or build up the church. Now, the thing to remember here is the word edify, and that simply means to build up. So even in, as I said in the beginning, when there's exhortation, when there's correction, there's comfort. Guys, even when there's correction, like if somebody comes to you and they correct you, even then, there's still edifying in that when it's done in the right heart. If it's done in the right way, there's still edifying because it's building up the church. Now, when it's not done correctly, People could try to humiliate or embarrass other people by exposing their weaknesses, shortcomings, or sins. It's not meant to criticize or judge people. And again, that's a dangerous place to be in. We don't ever want to do that. We want to make sure that if we are using the word prophetic or I'm prophesying, that we know that it is from the Lord and that it does edify and build up the church. And then now we move into revelation gifts here at the bottom of the page. We're going to talk about words of wisdom. God-given wisdom for a certain situation, this can solve a problem and gives an answer or a solution to a problem. Again, a word of wisdom is God-given wisdom for a certain situation, solves a problem, or gives an answer or a solution. Now, just by that description, just by raising of hand, anybody in here ever experienced a word of wisdom? Okay? I have. I've had people come up to me before, people I know, people I don't know. And I can't tell you how many times it's just been right on when I say timing. Like moments in my life where, you know, nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows really what's going on in your life. There's things that, you know, when we come to church, we put on a smile, but we all have struggles. We all have things that we have to go through and work through and trials and tribulations. And I can just remember moments just where people would come up, and it could be just the simplest of things like, hey, I just want you to know that God loves you. He loves you. He sees you. He sees you right where you are, and he knows your struggle, and he hasn't forgotten you. And when you hear something like that, especially when it's just a timely thing, because those words just naturally, they just seem like just simple words. But when it's done, when that word of wisdom is given in the right timing, man, it's encouraging to your spirit. It uplifts you. And it's just that gentle reminder that God sees you, and he knows where you're at. He hasn't forgotten you. And it's a beautiful thing when you get to see that gift being used of words of wisdom. Again, it's meant to be used to give direction and guidance. It's not meant to take God's credit and get puffed up thinking that we have all the answers. And then we go to word of knowledge. God-given knowledge that you wouldn't have otherwise, just knowledge or information. Now, this is meant to show or remind that person that God sees them, hears them, knows everything about their life and situations. It's not meant to be as a mind reader, thinking you are supposed to know everything about everyone, not used to expose or embarrass someone in front of others. But again, God-given knowledge that you wouldn't have otherwise. And again, it just goes back to like what I was saying, those two, the words of wisdom and the words of knowledge, those kind of go hand in hand to me. The words of knowledge. Maybe you find yourself in a situation and you're needing to make a difficult decision. I don't know about you, but I've been there before where maybe it's a decision for your family. Maybe it's a decision for a job. Maybe you're thinking about making a job change or something that could be just, this is like a big, big deal. It's not just some small thing, but it's big. And sometimes you get to those places in life where you feel like you're at a crossroads. Anybody ever been there before? You ever been at a crossroads where you just go, God, I need some direction. Like, I don't know what this next step is. And if I make the wrong step, this could be big. Like, this could be a big mistake. And in those moments, those words of knowledge can come. And when they do just simply that. They give direction. They're reminders that God sees your life. He sees your situation. And they can help you in those moments to make the right choices. And ultimately, it's going to benefit you, and God will get the glory for it. And then our next one here is discerning of spirits. The ability to see into the spirit realm or feel, discern various powers and principalities at work in a person or situation. Now, this one here, I think of this as anybody in the room ever felt like you've ever met somebody and you just go, man, I just got a weird feeling about that person. Anybody ever? Yeah, I've met a lot of people like that in my life. I'm just like, man, something is not right with that person. I just feel off. Or maybe it's like somebody you're like, I would never leave my kids with them. Like, something is not right. But seriously, though, a lot of times I feel like, as you know, Christians, we can make things so complicated when it comes to this type of stuff, like discerning of spirits. It kind of sounds spooky. It sounds weird. But really, just that example that we just talked about, like, you don't even realize it, but you're discerning the spirit. Like, something's going on in that particular person that causes you inside. The Holy Spirit's going, hey, there's a check. Don't leave your kids with that person. Or, you know, I'm being serious. Don't be alone with that particular person. Or maybe, you know, you can be friends with them, but just kind of stay at a distance. Just be wise. And so, again, it's used to differentiate between what seems to be, what truly is operating in, through, and around someone or someplace, so that the enemy's workings and plans can be dealt with and or broken. It's not meant to make you look for the bad in everyone, because I think if we're not careful, because we are humans, sometimes maybe if you've had bad experiences, you can tend to kind of lean on the side of, well, you know, every relationship I've had, you know, it's always been something. Something's not right. And then you go looking, you get into the next relationship, and then you see, well, there must be something wrong in that person. So it's like this, we have to make sure that we're looking through the right lens, is what I would say. Making sure that we're looking through the right lens. Because not everybody is bad. And there's not a devil behind every bush and corner. Although some people feel that there is, but there's not. And it's not used to scare or intimidate others. But again, it's what truly is operating in, through, and around someone or someplace, so that the enemy's workings and plans can be dealt with. And then here at the end, guys, we talk about power gifts, and we go to the book of John, chapter 5, and then chapter 12. And again, I would encourage you to go back and just read these and digest this. Look at your notes and then read this, the references as well. We talk about faith, God-given supernatural faith for something. Just by show of hands, somebody tell me, what does faith mean? What does faith mean? Okay, believing in something you can't see. So for instance, if I walk over to this light switch here, and without even thinking about it, I just hit that, and of course the one I turn on doesn't work. So there we go. So I turn out these lights. Whenever this class is over, whoever's the last person to shut down everything, you know what they're going to do? They're going to walk over to that wall, and they're going to hit those switches, and they're not going to think a thing about it. That's faith. When you got in your car this morning, you put the key in it, I bet you didn't think, is this thing going to start? You just put the key in and turn it. You got faith, right? When you get in an airplane, when you get in a 747 airplane, and you're flying from, you know, here across, let's say you're going on a missions trip, and you're flying 15 hours in the air over the ocean, I'd call that faith. Right? Because you're not flying that plane. You don't know what you're supposed to do if that pilot, something happens and that plane goes down. That's faith. It's a God-given supernatural faith for something big. You know, when I was studying over this and I thought about the word faith, the first thing I thought about was our Nacogdoches location. For those of you that have been here that know kind of the story behind that and what all entailed for us to get where we are now, it truly took faith to do that. There's a lot of roadblocks, a lot of things that we encountered, and it took faith from our pastor and from everybody that was praying, just believing, even when we hit those roadblocks, God, we believe that you've called us to this, and we're going to step out in faith. There was a lot of stepping out in faith that took place, and now we see the miracle that's happened, and just thanking the Lord for that. But that's an opportunity right there for faith to come into action. How it's used to find the will of the Father and agree with Him or His will to be done in that life or situation. How it's not supposed to be used to force God's hand and believe things into existence that are not His will. Then we have working of miracles under that one. Supernatural happenings. Guys, working of miracles. Jesus did so many of them. If you're new to the faith and you're just starting to get into God's Word, you're just now starting to digest that, I just encourage you, just Google, like, miracles that Jesus did, and then take those references and start reading on them and just see how many miracles He did. It's incredible just to see the miraculous things that Christ did. How it's supposed to be used to believe and ask God for something truly miraculous to happen in a life or a situation. How it's not to act as a magician. This gift, like the others, is to be led by the Spirit and used as He sees fit. And then we have gifts of healing as the last one. God's sovereign power operating through you to heal. Gifts of healing, it's God's sovereign power operating through you to heal. And that word sovereign just means supreme, God's supreme power. How it's supposed to be used to pray for everyone who is sick to be healed. How it's not supposed to be is to make people feel sinful or unspiritual for being sick. Remember, Christ is the healer. We are not. So guys, we covered a lot of information tonight, and again, I just want to encourage you, as you're in these classes, to really just, and I believe you are, but just continue just to take in everything you can, jot down as many notes as you can. I believe that as you're in classes like this, that the Lord will speak to you, even as the teaching's happening, like he'll show things to you and reveal things to you, and I just encourage you just to jot those things down, and as you go through your week, that way you can come back and just begin to digest all that. And I just felt led to encourage you that I just want you to know it's not by accident that every single one of you are in this room. It's not by accident that you've went through 9 weeks of this. It's all purposeful. We serve a God of purpose. We don't serve a God of accidents. It's not by accident that you're at Timber Creek Church in this time and this season, but it's His purpose and His plan. And I just want to encourage you just to keep doing what you know to do. Keep showing up. Keep being faithful. I just want to commend you all for showing up for 9 weeks, now 10 weeks, week in and week out, putting the work in, working to develop that gift that you feel God's called, that God's placed in your life. And I just want to go back as we close, and I'm going to pray. And if Taylor, if you want to come on up, I just want to go back to the parable of the talents, and I just want to encourage you tonight. As we read in number one, God's given us all at least one gift. And if you're in here tonight and you say, just as I said earlier, man, I've just struggled with finding out what that is, I encourage you to talk to your table host, text them, grab coffee with them, and just say, hey, I just want to talk to you. You know, what Cody was talking about, I just feel that I'm struggling to find what that one gift is for me. And I believe that the Lord will reveal it to you, all right? Let me pray with you. Jesus, thank you so much for this night. God, thank you for this incredible opportunity, Lord, for me to be here with these amazing men and women, to get to dive into your word and to see what you have to say about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's with us, even in this room now. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in every life in this room. Lord, I thank you for their dedication to grow in their knowledge of you, to grow in their walk with you. Lord, we know that all of these 10 weeks, God, it's not in vain, Lord, but it's simply just pouring a foundation as if we were building a house, Lord. I just picture just cement being poured. And we want everything to be right. We want it to be level. We want it to be in order, God, as you've called it to be. And I just pray, Lord, over every individual tonight, God, you know their needs. You know what they're facing. And I just pray, Lord, for encouragement. I pray for strength, Lord. I pray for joy, God, for those that maybe have had a rough week and they just feel just down, just discouraged. Lord, I pray tonight they would leave uplifted and encouraged. Lord, I thank you for your word that's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. God, I just pray that as these men and women take these notes and they take the notes that they've taken themselves and they take the references, God, of your word, and they go back and digest these, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them like never before, God. May their ears be open and sensitive, God, to your voice. Lord, if there be anything in their lives, God, that through this process that you want to just remove and you just want to fill that space, Lord, I pray that they would just open up their heart to you, Lord, that they would let go of anything maybe that they're holding on to still, God, that they would let you be the center of everything. Father, thank you so much again for this night, and we just bless you in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.